Hello. Long distance. Hello, Lord. You hadn't heard from me in quite a while, so you just thought you'd better go ahead and call, huh? Well, Lord, I tell you, it was just this same time last night I was planning on talking to you. I said to my wife, you know, as soon as old Johnny gets off the television, we ought to get on our knees and talk with the Lord. That's what we said. And I wish to goodness we'd have gone ahead and done it, but we didn't. But I tell you, Lord, what I'm going to do, I'm going to start doing better. I sure am. I'm going to say my prayers tonight, whether I need to or not. Yes, sir. Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I go to church. Yes, sir. Every Sunday. I'm a faithful church member. Yes, sir. Sunday night. Sir. A bonanza. Yes, sir. Well, sir, you know, Lord, I would have gone. You know, I was planning on going. Sunday before last. Well, Lord, you know, you just kind of picked on a couple of bad ones here, you know, and you're asking about the wrong ones, but, you know, I work so hard all the week. And last Sunday before last was such a pretty day and all and everything, and I didn't go to church, Lord. No, I tell you, I went out and sir, oh, you know where I went, huh? I caught 2 bass and 4 crappies. Yes, sir. Lord, oh, yes, sir, Lord, I'm so glad you asked that question. I'm a good steward. Tithing and giving to the church and all. I gave $58 to the church last year. I sure did, and after all, sir. Well, what do you mean you don't think I understand what stewardship means to good? 10% of everything that I own belongs to you. Well, yes, sir, Lord, I know about that, but I tell you, right now, you just kind of called it a bad time, you know. You just, we're in a recession down here, you know, and the thing's done turned into a depression for me, and I just can't give any more, Lord, than that right now. And sir, yeah, Lord, but if I don't pay off this boat and this motor, you know, they'll come and get it, and then I won't have one. Sir, oh, yes, sir, I take an active part in everything. Every time somebody comes by here telling me there's things going on in the church that shouldn't be, well, I'm the first one to jump all over our preacher. I tell him just exactly what I think. I sure do. I take an active part, Lord, in everything. That ain't the way you do it, huh? Well, no, Lord, I tell you, that's just the way most of them do it. Oh, you got to go now. Well, now, Lord, I tell you, I appreciate you calling, but and since you reminded me and all, I'm going to start doing better. I think I need to. Sir, you think I need to, too, huh? Well, I am. I'm going to rededicate my life right now, Lord. I sure am. I'm going to quit talking about my old neighbors, Lord, even if they ain't no good. And I'm going to start tithing my tithes, my 10%, and paying my debts, Lord. And I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning, yeah, and morning worship preaching. Every time, Lord, they have church, Lord, I'm going to be there and take an active part. Yes, sir, the right kind. Yes, sir, and pray for others just like they've been praying for me. Yes, sir, Lord. Now, Lord, you know how dependable that I am. Yes, sir, and you can depend on me for doing that. Okay, Lord, and I thank you so much for calling here. Goodbye now.
That had to make you smile. Today we start a new study entitled Called in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 is where we start. We're going to, throughout this book, we're going to realize what it means to be called. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious holy word? Verse 1 says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the calling that has come from you. May we all be found faithful in answering that call. I pray that your presence will be made real in this service. Lord, move among us freely. Convict of sin. Comfort the brokenhearted. Encourage the downcast. Lord, you knowing every spiritual need in this place, you knowing the hearts of each man and lady and boy and girl, move, answer those spiritual needs, Lord, we pray. These things we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Called. You know what called means. All right? As we use the word called in this study, we're going to be talking about one who has accepted an invitation to become a member of a select group. Okay? So a calling is being invited to be a part of a select or a special group. Do you realize if you're in Christ, you are special? Boy, you don't sound special this morning. Did you not get what you wanted for Christmas? I mean, there are more long faces in here this morning. It's going to be all right. Jesus is going to win. Do you know that? Okay? So let's brighten up a little bit. Let's go out of 2012 praising the Lord. All right? But today, this word call that we're studying is used 12 times in the book, 1 Corinthians, in the capacity that we're talking about. Most people think of a calling as that's only for preachers or that's only for missionaries. No, if that's your thinking, you're absolutely 100% wrong. As we make this study or as we do this study, we'll find that every child of God is called. And that call involves a special place that God has especially prepared you for and that He has especially prepared for you. We're called in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to start by looking at the history of those who have been called. Paul opened this book and first of all he said, Paul, called to be an apostle. And we're going to talk about Paul's calling. You remember the story in Acts chapter 9, how Paul's conversion is recorded as he was on the road to Damascus. Up to that point, his life had been all about Judaism. It had been all about rising in the ranks of the religious elite. It had been all about how well the Apostle Paul could do. And he had left a trail of Christian blood in his wake. Yet one day on the road to Damascus, Paul was blinded by a heavenly light where he fell to the ground as Jesus asked him the question, Paul, or at that time Saul, why are you persecuting me? Then we see as Paul was converted, he responded to that question, who are you, Lord? The Lord said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I love the way that Jesus pointed that out to Paul. Have you ever noticed you can't fight against God and enjoy life? You ever tried? I mean, it's just not possible. I believe Paul had been convicted for a long time, even since the point that he had been there for the stoning of Stephen and he had witnessed that event and even held the coats of those who threw the stones that killed Stephen. And so he's been fighting and fighting and fighting for so long, you know, pushing Judaism, but deep down inside, he knows he's not right. And now, finally, on the road to Damascus, he came face to face with Jesus Christ. And I love his response when Jesus called. He said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Now that word, Lord, kind of gives us an indication. It was at that point that Paul said, "I'm done. I'm through chasing the dream of the Apostle Paul. I'm through doing what everybody else thinks I'm supposed to do. I'm going to follow the Lord, the one who owned the Apostle Paul." It was then that Paul answered God's claim upon his life. And from that point forward, he would never be the same. He was characterized by a commitment that is just amazing. See, from that point, Paul, who was notorious for the persecution of Christians, had now committed his life to Jesus Christ, the very one whom he had been fighting. This Paul would now face stoning and beatings and prisons, and instead of being looked upon as a religious scholar, now Paul is going to be looked upon as a religious madman. But no matter what happened, no matter how difficult, Paul remained faithful. And do you know why? Because he was called to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, an official representative of Jesus Christ on this earth. And he never forgot that. His entire ministry, he kept pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God. He kept pushing and pushing and pushing this Apostle Paul who answered the call. And you know, it wasn't just Paul, but throughout history, our faith, Christianity, has been marked by men and women who have answered God's call. Men like Noah, whom the Lord said was a just man, perfect in his generation and walked with God. And Noah responded as God called him to build an ark that rose above the floodwaters of judgment, leading his family or keeping his family to safety. Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, where God called, said, "Abraham, get out of your country and out of your father's land. I'll make of you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great among all the nations. And you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." But you know what Abraham had to do? Abraham had to answer the call. You know what Moses or Noah had to do? Noah had to answer the call. Moses, we go on to who delivered the children of Israel. Oh, we talk about the greatness of Moses. But you know, it wasn't Moses that was great. It was the God that he served. And all Moses did was answered the call. Joshua, who got the word, God said, "Moses, my servant's dead. Now you lead my people into the land that I'm giving them." David, a man after God's own heart, answered the call to be the king over Israel. Peter answered the call of Jesus on the seashores of Galilee. And he went from being a hot-headed know-it-all to a preaching machine who preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls were added to the church. Stephen, a man who preached with such intensity and power that the Sanhedrin was cut to the very core and they gnashed at him with their teeth. You know what made these men great? What made these men great was they answered the call of God. What I want you to get at this point is what a rich history that you and I have been blessed with of men and women who've answered that call. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, that's what it says. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by a great or so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." There is a rich history of people answering the call. And I want you to know today, first and foremost, You, my friends, you are called. Have you answered? You know what you're called to be? You're called to be saints. There in verse 2. Paul said, I'm called to be an apostle. But in verse 2 he said, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. You see, your call started with your sanctification. That's a big religious word. Do you know what that word means? It just simply means set apart for sacred purpose. Okay? Set aside or set apart for special purpose. See, here's what most don't get today. Did you know that salvation is more than just missing hell? If you're just saved to miss hell, you're missing the good life. You see, what Jesus did is He removed you from that sin and the destructive power of the world. And He moved you into Christ Jesus, setting you in that place to be used for divine purpose. That makes you special. Do you realize it? I mean, think about what I just said. That makes you special. Can you go with saying amen to I'm special? Amen. Amen. I mean, nobody else may think, but me and you know you're special. Or you and I'm sorry. Poor English. And you're special because of what Jesus has done for you. You see, He picked you up. He cleaned you up. And He set you up for that place of special service that He's called and prepared just for you. And your job, my friends, is to submit to that special service. See, you're called to be saints. Now remember, the word call means to invite or become a member of a select group. And the key to being called is to respond. You are called to be a saint. Now listen. The religious world has absolutely ruined this word saint. Did you? Are you a saint? If you're a child of God, you're a saint. Okay? If you're a child of God, you are a saint. The very definition is very closely related to being sanctified. But the idea in being sanctified, that's what Christ did. The idea in being a saint, that's how you have responded. And it carries the idea of being special. Or uncommon. As a matter of fact, the opposite of this word would be common in the Greek. You have been invited by God to be special. To stand out from the world. To be holy. How many holy rollers do we have today? That's me. I'm a holy roller. See, I mean, and the Bible says, or God said, be you holy, or you be holy, because I'm holy. That's what God said. You know, you are a saint. Whether you like to use that word or not, and it doesn't require some vote of some church somewhere that decides whether you're a saint or not. If you know Jesus, you are one. Okay? But what I want you to grasp is through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been made special. To stand out from the crowd. To be uncommon. You may be employed at the nuclear plant here in Russellville. And you may think, well, there's nothing, you know, I mean, I'm not special in the work of the Lord. You're wrong. God has prepared you to work at that nuclear plant. And to stand out from the crowd so that they may see the glory of your Father in heaven. God has prepared you who work at Walmart or Kmart or Tyson or wherever. He's prepared you to be a saint and stand out being uncommon in this world that we're living in. Being uncommon, making a difference in your family, in your friends, in the life of the people you work with. You, my friends, are called. Never come to that point where you think, I'm not really here for anything. If God did not have a purpose for you, you would not be here. Okay? You are called to be a saint. Made special through the blood of Jesus Christ for a special work that God has prepared just for you. Sanctified by the Savior. Submit for special service. And set for success. I want you to read this again with me. Verse 4. Paul said, I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him. I like that. In all utterance and knowledge. The reason I like that is because that word enriched means to make wealthy. Do you realize you have been enriched? You have been made wealthy. And this is better than the lottery. Okay? This is better than winning the lottery. This is better than inheriting millions from a long lost uncle. Alright? You have been made wealthy in what? Spiritually speaking. Grab a hold of this. Alright? In all utterance there in verse 5 and knowledge. That word utterance, the Greek word is logos, which is what? Word. You know that. And all knowledge or understanding and insight. You know what he's talking about? He is talking about the doctrine, the teaching. Now he's talking to this church at Corinth, okay? He's saying, look, God has made you abundantly wealthy in your knowledge and doctrine and what you know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize the key to success is knowledge? Think about it. Would you want a doctor to administer treatment to you that had not been to med school? Absolutely not. What about open heart surgery by someone who had never seen an operating room? Absolutely not. Why? Because knowledge is the key. If he's going to do heart surgery on me, I want that rascal to be smart. How about you? I want him to be the best. I want him to know stuff that they hadn't even thought of about the heart yet if he's going to cut me open. Right? Paul is telling them, look, what you have in Christ Jesus that sets you in that position, that wealth of success, that position of success, is what you know about God. Let me ask you, what do you know about God? 2 Timothy chapter 2 or 3 verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you realize that the most precious and powerful asset that Victory Missionary Baptist Church has is the word of God? We are living in an age where there are churches where sermons are preached that the Bible is never even opened and Scripture's never even referred to. Beloved, if we ever get away from the Word of God, we've got no reason to meet. Okay? Think about it. But think about the enormous blessing. The Word of God. And don't just stop. If you want to be a saint, Eric, if you're going to be a saint, if you're going to be successful in your sainthood, get into the Word of God. And don't just rely on what you hear from Brother Doug on Sunday or your Bible study preacher or teacher on Sunday morning. Don't just rely on that. If that's all your knowledge is, you're missing the wealth. You're missing the joy. Do you realize the mark of a good church is not a building, The mark of a good church is not big attendance or entertainment. The mark of a good church is one which is engulfed in the Word of God. That is its central focus. And if that is not the central focus, then you need to get out of whatever church it is. You need to get out. We're called. We're enriched to be special, to shine as lights in this world of darkness. Then finally, we're called into fellowship. Verse 9, let's read that together. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's read that again. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of you have one of these? I'm talking about a phone. You may have a Droid or some other. I'm not talking about, you know, this particular. But I'm talking about a cell phone. If you've got a cell phone, would you raise your hand? Wow. Wow. Okay, I want to ask you another question. How many of you have got it with you? Okay. Okay, don't answer this. How many of you have got it turned on right now? Why? I mean, isn't it amazing how addicted we are to this silly little black box? Isn't it amazing? I mean, I don't know how many times I have driven to church, and I live 6 miles or so outside of Russellville, and I get to church and I feel in my pocket and I say, "Oh, I don't have my phone." And this cold sweat breaks out from all over me. What if somebody tries to call me? They can't get a hold of me. And you know what I do? I take my little self and drive all the way back to the house and burn up another gallon of gas and grab my cell phone and I get it in my hand. Oh, it's going to be okay now. Now. If anybody wants to call me, I'm connected once again. I mean, we're just almost that bad, aren't we? You know what else I expect out of this little box? I expect it to work. It drives me crazy when I got one bar. You know what I'm talking about, one bar is. And boy, when I get to that one bar status, I'm doing this number. We got to find a spot. But thank the Lord. As long as I've got one bar, I may not can talk to you clearly, but buddy, I can text you. So I'm still connected. We were talking before services. Don't you hate people that can text with their thumbs? My texting is T-H... Oh, man! You know, if it requires more than one finger, I'm in trouble. That's why if you get a text from me, it's probably going to be 3 words or less. Otherwise, I'll call you. Right? Oh, but I need service. I need this thing to work. Why? Because I need to remain connected. I need to be able to talk to people. And if somebody calls me, I want it to come through. They might have something really important. I don't know what in the world it is. As a matter of fact, half the time you answer the phone and you think, "Oh man, I shouldn't have answered that." But I got it with me all the time, waiting for that precious call to come through. You know what else? There are some phone calls I don't answer. You ever done that? It's called screening your calls. People know when you do that. Oh, don't want to talk to them. Send them to voicemail. Do you know somebody I always answer? I mean, if I don't answer, something's really up. It's when my wife calls. When my wife calls, she gets an answer. You know, others may get my voicemail. But see, I want her to know when she calls me that nobody else person-wise in this world is more important than her. I'm going to answer her call. Man, I'm addicted to this thing. I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about verse 9. How that it talked about God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Do you realize anywhere you go, you're under the umbrella of God's coverage? Isn't that cool? And when I get to thinking on this level, this thing doesn't seem to be so important. You see, I need to be connected with God all the time. I need to know that when I'm visiting in Nicaragua, our missionary over there, I need to know that I'm still connected to God, because I may just have to call on Him at a moment's notice. When I'm in Little Rock, when I'm at my parents' house, when I'm in another state, I need to know that I'm still connected to God. And you know what? This is what you're going to find as a saint of God, that you are always connected to God. The line is always open. Why? Because God is faithful. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never screen your call. He'll never kick you over to voicemail. He's faithful to answer when you call. He's faithful to provide your needs. And that's what it's talking about here. How that He's enriched you, enabled you, and equipped you to be a saint. Always faithful, who has called you into the fellowship. And get this last line in closing. The fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the goal of God's faithfulness. Is that relationship with Jesus Christ. I said a while ago that when Beth calls, I always answer, if at all possible. And I do. Why? Because people-wise, her relationship to me is the most important relationship on this earth. Okay? Now, she does not take the place of God. Okay? God's first. But as far as important people in my life, she's it. But let's apply that mentality to what God has called you to. He has called you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. To be in fellowship with His Son. It started with your sanctification as you were cleansed from your sin, if you are indeed a child of God. But it doesn't stop there. And like I said, missing hell is not the point of salvation. A relationship is the point of salvation. God has called you to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to do that is to remain connected at all times. Coming up on a new year, you know what I find? I find it's easy for me to hang up on Jesus. It's easy for me to forget to get into the Word that is the secret to our spiritual success. It's easy for me to forget to get on my knees and just talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, I love You. It's easy for me to put stuff on the back burner. It's easy for me to kick Jesus over to voicemail. Say, I'll get it to him later. Here's my question. In closing, we have a rich history. Men and women answering the call. We are called to be saints, sanctified by Jesus, to submit for special service, set for success. But we've always, always got to be in fellowship with the Son. Got to preaching and forgot to flip. Here's what life is about. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. My question today, one question as we begin this series. What's your relationship with Jesus like? Simple question. What's your relationship with Jesus like? Man, it's a, you know, sometimes you talk, you're on the phone and you're talking to people and it's such a joy. You hang up and you thought, boy, I'm glad I talked to them. Boy, I enjoyed that visit. How long has it been since you enjoyed a visit with the Son of God? How long has it been? Have you ever established a relationship with Jesus Christ? You know what? You got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Today can be that start by you calling upon Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe you've already done that. You know you're saved, but that intimate relationship just hadn't been there lately. Time to get back on the prayer phone. Time to spend a little time at the altar. It's a time to return to the joy of the Lord. Where are you with Jesus? The one question. If things are not right, it's time to make them right. It's time to answer the call. That's the challenge. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And thank you for the call, the claim that you have laid to our life. Lord, as we begin this study, help us to realize you have called us to be special. You have called us to stand out in the crowd. You have called us, Lord, not only to salvation, but to service. You've called us to be saints. Lord, may we take that call seriously. May we make you the priority in our life. And may you be glorified from the lives that we live. Now I pray you would move freely among us, that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.